Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Empowerment Place. This is your host, Apostle Valerie Burrell, here with my husband, Apostle Benny. Thankful and grateful to God for another wonderful week, and with expectation, we await our guest on tonight, Apostle Rodney Vini, awesome man of God, a phenomenal teacher of the kingdom, and one who, I won't share that. I'll let Apostle share when he comes on. Amen. But we are excited to have him as our guest on this evening to share a word to help us really make an impact in the kingdom. Honey, has he joined us yet?
We do have several on.
Amen.
8494.
Apostle. If they press one, if you could bring them live. Amen.
I'm not recognizing his number. I will bring him live.
Amen.
Yeah, we have a number of callers online.
Apostle Vini, if you would press one, we can bring you live. Amen. Bring them live.
Apostle Vini, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Okay, we got you.
Amen. God bless you, Apostle.
Good evening. How are you?
We are wonderful. Thank you so much for being with us on this evening. What you have will speak for itself. We don't want to prolong. We want to just turn it over to you, and we trust that you will be led of the Spirit of God. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, God bless you, and good evening to everyone. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir. You're coming through fine.
Good, good, good. Well, good evening to everyone, and God bless everyone. I pray that everyone has had an exciting day, a productive day, and excited about the things of God. I want to certainly honor our host, Apostle Benny, Apostle Valerie, for this opportunity that they've granted me to share with you all this afternoon. I've known Apostle Valerie for quite some time and known Apostle Benny for quite a while as well. And I honor them as kingdom leaders and servants of this great commission that has been given to us by the Lord. And certainly has been a level of consistency that has been maintained by this anointed couple and what God has appointed them to do. And I honor you today, Apostle Valerie and Apostle Benny, for maintaining a standard of ministry and just kind of feeding the people of God who have positioned themselves to hear the word of the Lord through this Blog Talk Radio broadcast. I know you've done this for a number of years, and just want to honor you to this afternoon for your consistency to the assignment that God gave you. A lot of times, you know, we don't get the recognition in it, or at least it's few and far apart from, you know, our service. And so just wanted to let you know that I honor you all today for your consistency and certainly the platform that you have provided for many, many voices to speak the word of the Lord and share from the heart. So I was on a broadcast that you all had just a couple of weeks ago. I had an opportunity to call in, and there was a young lady, and I didn't catch her name, but she was a prophet, and I was able to only be on that broadcast for a few minutes. And in those few minutes that I was on that broadcast, that young lady said something two times that spoke, resonated with me for the rest of the week. And it was just a simple sentence. She kept saying that the Lord opened the door, the will of God opened the door, and she took it. And that was an instruction for me. And even though I had to get off of the broadcast right after that, that was all I really needed to hear. And so I just wanted to share that testimony because I wanted to encourage you all today, concerning the impact and the influence that you are having on the lives of those who dial in and join you all on a consistent basis, on a weekly basis, to hear what you all had to share and what the Lord has given you all to share, as well as those that you open up the platform to share as well. Amen.
Amen. I certainly appreciate that, Apostle. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. Well, I want to share this afternoon with you all concerning leadership. This is where I'm living in this season of my life, doing a lot of writing and doing a lot of training with emerging kingdom leaders. And I want to make a statement, and then I want to teach based upon that statement and give some support of this concerning the statement that I'm going to make. I believe that some of you all might struggle to embrace what I'm getting ready to say, but that's an apostolic grace. Apostolic grace is an embrace it grace, an embrace it process many times. Iron sharpens iron, that's abrasive. If you want to go to another dimension of truth, what's going to happen is the truth is not going to come at the level of your current truth. It's going to be ahead of you. Yeah, I hear a lot of people talking about going to the next level. In order to get to the next level in life, in order to get to the next level in the kingdom, it's going to require another dimension of truth. Jesus met a man at a well, all right? Most of us are familiar with this account in John 5. Jesus met this man at this well. This man was in a condition of being lame. And Jesus gave this man an instruction. And the instruction was rise. That was the first instruction Jesus gave the man after he asked the man, do you want to be made whole? Well, the man was just basically thinking about getting healed, which you got to understand. The wholeness dimension is a different dimension, a higher dimension than just getting healed. All right? Now, what's going to happen now, Jesus gives the man an instruction to rise. What is Jesus saying? You got to come up to the next dimension of truth in order to get your breakthrough. All right? The dimension of truth pertaining to healing, is that true? Yes, it is absolutely true. But here's what some of us need to realize. Your breakthrough is appointed at a certain dimension. So the problem that this man is having that we tend to call lame, and I'm not sure why we still call this man lame, because the last time I saw he was walking, he was whole. But we still call this man lame for whatever reason. But anyway, what this man failed to realize is even though he was sitting there and watching people get into the pool, the first person in the pool after the angel stirred up, the first person in that pool after the water was stirred, they got healed. That wasn't the dimension of truth that this man was appointed to walk in. Jesus said, rise. In other words, there is a greater dimension to the truth that you know. You're sitting here watching these people get their breakthrough, but you're stuck. Why? Because you're not appointed to walk in that dimension of truth. Your breakthrough is not going to come at that dimension. I want to make you whole so that then you can go back and teach people about this wholeness dimension. I believe this man was appointed to be an apostle for the wholeness dimension. He was appointed to go back and tell people, guess what, y'all? There is another dimension to the truth that we know. You not only can get healed, you can be made whole. I believe that was this man's assignment. And because of that reason, he wasn't going to get his breakthrough at the healing dimension. Wow. He was only going to get his breakthrough at the wholeness dimension. What does it require? Greater truth. Apostle Benny likes to always talk about greater truth, a greater dimension of truth. And it is true. There is a greater dimension to the truth that you already know. It does not invalidate your current truth. Look at what I'm saying. Consider what I'm saying. Hear clearly what I'm saying. People get in the pool to be healed. Is that truth? Yes, it's a dimension of truth. It is the dimension of healing. That's the dimension of truth. But there was a greater dimension of truth, which is what? Wholeness. Some of you all have to realize you're not appointed to get a breakthrough at your current dimension of truth. And the reason Holy Spirit keeps talking to you about the next dimension is that's where your breakthrough is. That's where you're going to take place. All right? A greater dimension, the next level. What does it require? It requires a greater dimension or the next dimension of truth. You have to rise up to the next dimension. And that's where you're going to experience your greatest breakthrough. So we're talking about leadership today. And so as we talk about this topic now, this is a very important topic because I'm going to make this statement. Every problem, every issue that we face in life in some way and in some form is a leadership issue. It's a leadership issue. All right. Recently, I was teaching from Ezekiel 37 about the valley of the dry bones. And Holy Spirit prompted me. He says, Rodney, you never asked, how did the bones become dry? He says, you all always talk about how the bones are dry and all this sort of stuff. He says, but you never asked me, well, how did the bones become dry? He says, let me walk you through the process of showing you what happened. Okay, if you read the account, in fact, let's go ahead and read that so I can set the stage for what I'm going to talk about. In Ezekiel 37, all of us are familiar with this. And for the sake of time, we'll just kind of cut straight to the chase. In verse 2, Ezekiel 37, verse 2, it says, then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. Indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Let me pause right there. And let me talk about prophesying. The basic level of prophecy or prophesying is what God said. That's the basic level of prophetic. It's not spooky. The basic level of prophetic or prophesying is confession. Hebrews 4 talks about hold fast to the confession of your faith. All right? Confession is the basic level of prophesying. It's simply to say what you hear God say. That's all it is. It's nothing spooky. All right? So basically, Ezekiel is being told, say what. Prophesy to these bones. Say what I say to them. Say what you hear me say. Confess what you hear me say. All right? And so he says, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 7, so I prophesied, said Ezekiel, as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to bone. And indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, listen to what he's saying. He's telling him what to say. Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came upon them, came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, in verse 11, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our hopes are dry, our hope is lost. Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open up your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Wow. Now I'm going to stop right there because these bones represent a body of believers. All right, he says, indeed, he says here in verse 11, he says, they stood upon their feet an exceedingly great army. All right, then down in verse 11, he says, he refers to this valley of dry bones as a group of people. All right, he says this is these bones are the whole house of Israel. It's talking about the church, a body of believers that have become disjointed as a result of being disconnected from the will of God. All right? Now, all knows there is no such thing as a dry place in the kingdom of God. There's no dry season in the kingdom of God. How did these bones become dry? Well, let's look at what God did here. First and foremost, he sent a man in the person of Ezekiel to speak to these bones, to prophesy to these bones, to say what he saw and what he wanted, he was seeing to these bones. So that indicates to you and I that prior to Ezekiel being sent, another leader had spoken to these people and had led them into this dry place. God Almighty. So this in itself, Ezekiel 37, is a leadership issue. The valley of dry bones is representing, is giving you a visual of the type of issues that are a result of a failed level of leadership. That's why leadership is one of the most important topics that we can actually engage in this season of our life. Every problem, every issue that we're facing as a church, even as an individual, it is a leadership issue in some way and in some form. And that's what we're seeing here. Ezekiel is sent. Now, here's the biggest issue with leadership and leaders: influence. Influence is the biggest issue when it comes to leaders and leadership. Who and what influences leaders is critically important. Now, the kingdom is sort of a catchword. It's a trend in the church today, and a lot of people use it and throw the term around and things like that without a level of understanding about what real kingdom ministry is all about, all right? And that in itself is the issue, and that's another conversation at some point we might need to have. But when you're talking about leadership as it pertains to the kingdom, if you do not understand the role, the office, the assignment of Holy Spirit, you have a leadership issue. If the primary leader in your life is anyone other than Holy Spirit, you have a leadership issue. One of the things that you've got to understand, the agenda of Satan's agenda from day one, through the course of history, throughout the course of time, to this present moment, his number one agenda, his number one mandate has always been to displace the leadership part in our lives. That's been his focus from day one. From day one, is to displace the leadership of God. All right, now. He doesn't try to replace God. He simply wants to displace God's leadership in our lives. All right? He wants to displace God's leadership in our lives. And he goes about doing that by means of influence. He does that by means of influence. Okay? Now watch this. A lot of people, a lot of leaders teach and preach that Satan is after your finances, he's after your health, he's after your anointing, he's after your faith, he's after, you know, all these sorts of things. None of that is true. Satan is after leadership. He wants to displace leadership. He wants to displace the leadership of God in our lives because he understands influence. And he understands that if he can displace the leadership of God in our lives, a great opportunity exists at that point for him to influence any other form of leadership
by means of the will of man. So his number one agenda from day one to this current day has always been to displace leadership. Now, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you something that's going to blow you away. Go with me to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. All right? Now, again, what Satan wants to do is operate through the will of man. Through the will of man. Which is the reason the whole kingdom thing is set up for us to submit our will to God. Okay? Anytime we begin to operate out of our own will, we open the door to be tempted by the enemy. Let me say that again. Anytime we operate in our own will, we set ourselves up to be tempted by the enemy. Operating in your own will is to be under the influence of a different spirit. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So when I'm off of my game and I operate out of my own will, I'm operating by means of a different spirit, a human spirit instead of the Spirit of God. And that human spirit is subject to be influenced by the enemy in ways that I don't even understand and comprehend is going on. And I begin to serve a different agenda that's not consistent with the kingdom agenda. But yet I'm thinking I'm doing God a favor. I'm serving God. But I'm operating under the influence of a different spirit because it's not the Spirit of God. Leadership has been displaced. The leadership of God has been displaced in my life. And I've opened the door to fall prey to some other influence that's operating through my own will. Big issue among those who confess faith in Christ today. A big issue. We're operating out of our own will and calling that the will of God. That's a big issue. It's a big issue. We have not been properly taught. We have not been properly trained to discern the difference between light and darkness. One of the first things God did when he came and the earth was in a chaotic, disorderly state is God released light. The next thing God does is God divides the light from the darkness. In other words, he separates two systems. He's separating two sounds. Darkness is diametrically opposed to light. What God is doing, he wants to make sure we can distinguish between light and darkness. Light is a sound. Darkness is a sound. It's a frequency. Light represents the frequency of God's communication. It represents the sound of his will. Darkness represents the sound or the will that's diametrically opposed to the will of God. And a lot of us don't know how to distinguish the difference. But this was one of the first order of business for God in Genesis 1, which indicates to me that it speaks to being significant and of great importance. Yet so many people of God don't know the difference. And so as a result, people are walking in darkness and calling it light. They don't know the difference between the sounds or the systems. All right, now, let's get to Matthew 4. I want to show you something. It's going to blow you away. All right, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. If you still use the paperback Bible, I would suggest that you put a period right there. All right? Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness, period, to be tempted by the devil. Now, the reason I'm reading that right there like that is because there's two things going on here, and you have to understand, you have to look at this account from two different perspectives. Number one, you have to look at what God is doing. Number two, you have to look at it from the perspective of what the devil is trying to do. You have to look at it from the perspective of light, and you have to look at it from the perspective of darkness. If you don't know the difference between light and darkness, you put all of this on God. Wow. So perspective number one is that Jesus is being led by Holy Spirit. That's what I call the leadership test. He's already proven himself as an authentic son of God at the Jordan in the previous chapter because he followed the leadership of Holy Spirit. He did everything Holy Spirit was leading him to do. He satisfied all the legal requirements of righteousness, and the Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my son, God Almighty. This is my son. He's replicating me in the earth." One of the things that you got to understand is that the intent of God for creating the universe, God wanted to extend his rule, his reign, and this time he's going to do it by means of a physical realm, not a spiritual realm, but a physical realm. So he creates this physical realm called the universe, including the earth. But the decision that God made was that the Father said, "I'm not going to live in this physical realm. I'm going to extend my rule, I'm going to extend my reign into this physical realm by means of a God man that I'm going to create. I'm going to create a new species of being. It's going to be a God man. He's part God, he's part man. He's a hybrid being. God Almighty. So you are not just human. You need to stop singing that. And stop confessing that. You are a hybrid species. God the Father has shared his divine nature with you, which means that by means of partaking of his divine nature, you're part God, you're part man. You are a hybrid being. You are a new species of being. You're the highest order of being in the earth. And you are in God's class. God Almighty, you're in his class. You are God class hybrid being. Now, that might be a stretch for some of y'all because you've been around the wrong, you've been around low-level type teaching that talks about you just being human and humanity, all right? Well, let me take you on a side journey here. Jesus one day asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they responded and whatnot. And then he looked at Peter, he looked at Simon, and he says, who do you say I am?" And Simon spoke up and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus comes right back at him and says, "Yeah, you are Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church." What you got to understand is Jesus is introducing this God man. He's introducing this new species of being in the person of Peter to the world. Everybody knew Simon. Nobody knew Peter. Even Peter didn't know Simon. Even Simon didn't know Peter. What am I saying? Simon, the descriptive of his name was Simon Bar-Jonah. Bar-Jonah means son of Jonah. This is speaking to his humanity. Simon was the human man. But then Jesus said, "But the Father says you are Peter." Peter speaks to the divinity of the man. God, here's a new species, part God, part man. And Jesus is introducing him to the world and even introducing him to Peter himself. Now, watch this. Now, Peter's going to walk down the street sometime later, and he's going to cast a shadow. And when people got in that shadow, they got healed. Simon would never do that. I hope y'all are catching this. As long as he identifies himself as Simon, the human, the humanity, he's never going to walk down the street and cast a shadow that people's going to get healed in. That tells me that he embraced Peter, the God man, the hybrid man, the man who's part God, part man, the man who is Peter, a man of great revelation, a man of depth, a man who's going to leave the imprint of Christ on the world. That's Peter. That's not Simon. That's Peter. Every time you go outside and you position yourself under the sun, you cast a shadow. Let that serve as a reminder to you. The shadow is a result of the sun shining upon you. The shadow is a result of the S-U-N shining on you. Let it serve as a reminder of the glory of God manifesting through you. Let it serve as a reminder that you're not just a mere human. That there's more to you than just humanity. Wow. Let me get back on track here. I hope y'all caught that. Matthew chapter 4. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. This is what I call the leadership test. All right? What's the leadership test? It's the test to see if you are able to remain submitted to the leadership of Holy Spirit. That's the leadership test, all right? Second perspective, perspective number two, the enemy is going to tempt him. The enemy is going to tempt him, all right? So two things are going on here. He's being proven as an authentic kingdom dimension leader by means of going through a season of life with things happening, all right? And the test is, will you remain submitted to the leadership of Holy Spirit, all right? Or will you allow certain things to cause you to begin to operate in your own will? That's the leadership test. Will you evacuate or deviate from sonship? Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Will you evacuate that position? Will you deviate from that position and begin to operate in your own will? All right, that's the leadership test. All right. Now, the enemy is going to tempt you. The enemy is going to tempt you. Understand, temptation always involves some level of deception, and God is never part of deception. This is why you have to break this account down in two different perspectives. God is never part of deception. There's no shadow of turning with him. There's no darkness with him. All right. Remember, darkness is a different sound. It's a different system. It's a diametrical sound. It's a diametrical system. God is not part of any form of temptation that wants to serve to pull you off course of his will for your life. God is not part of that. So two things are going on here. But we want to take a look at this leadership thing tonight. All right. Verse 2, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. He has a severe need. He's facing a severe need right now. He hasn't eaten in 40 days. Here comes the tempter. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. All right? Notice now, he says, if you are the Son of God. He's already proven the authenticity of his sonship at the Jordan, and the Father has validated him as a son. Now, here comes the tempter, trying to get him to second guess or reprocess something the Father has already said. Will you evacuate your sonship position and operate in your own will to get a need met in your life? Or will you remain submitted to the leadership of Holy Spirit in the face of this need? Wow, that's the leadership test. And many of us who are on this line tonight, you've either passed this test or failed this test based on how you deal with certain needs. Many of us, we allow the pressure of the need to overwhelm us, and we begin to operate in our own will, going about doing things to try to meet the need, doing things Holy Spirit hasn't given us any consent to do, doing things Holy Spirit has not given us any release to do, doing things the Holy Spirit has not commissioned us to do in order to meet a need. You're operating in your own will, and you're failing the leadership test. All right? We're talking about a high level of leadership tonight. We're talking about an authentic dimension of kingdom leadership. All right? Jesus is showing you what that looks like. In the face of severe needs, he did not evacuate or deviate from sonship. All right, it goes on to say in verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Verse 5, then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You got to understand what's going on here. This is an example of what First John 4 calls the pride of life. The devil is trying to displace the leadership of God in Jesus' life, and he's using the word of God to do that. He's giving Jesus a word from the Bible. He's extrapolating a scripture from the Holy Word and challenging Jesus' knowledge of the word. If Jesus does what he says, even though it is the scripture, the enemy has successfully displaced the leadership of Holy Spirit, God, using the word. You have to be careful, because everybody that's quoting word have not been sent or commissioned by the Holy Spirit to speak into your life. And the enemy will use the word to displace the leadership of God in your life. True. It's a leadership test. He will challenge your knowledge of the word. But his objective is to use the word to displace Holy Spirit's leadership. And look at what Jesus did. He didn't move. Jesus came right back at him and said, well, it's also written, you should not tempt the Lord your God. Jesus recognized what's going on here. Nuh-uh. You're trying to use the word now to tempt me. You're trying to use the word of God to steer me off course, to pull me off course with the plan and the will and the intent of God. Jesus recognized light from darkness. He knew the difference between the sounds and the systems. All right, verse 8. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall not worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. This is what 1 John 4:17 refers to as the lust of the eye. The lust of the eye deals with a lust for power, a lust for position, a lust for influence in someone's life. The devil uses that to tempt us again. This is all part of a leadership test. The objective, the goal here is to displace the leadership of God, to displace the leadership of Holy Spirit in Jesus' life. This is a clear picture of the process that we are required to have to endure. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. You have to endure temptation in order to be promoted into a high level, a kingdom dimension of leadership. All right. What's going on here with this last part? All right. The enemy is offering him a position. If he has a lust of the eye, if he's lusting for position, if he's lusting for authority, he's going to take the bait. See, most of us on this line tonight, we are, in fact, appointed by the Father to inhabit positions of great influence. But we've got to allow Holy Spirit to process us and lead us into those positions. Every time the leaders of Jesus' day, the earthly leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the political leaders, every time they approached him and offered him a position in their organizations, offered him, you know, solicited and talked to him about, you know, being an earthly king. That was the lust of the eye. The enemy was coming back again to check to see if he would take the bait. Many leaders have been led astray because of the lust of the eye, because they didn't recognize the temptation when it came. And they fail a leadership test. It's a leadership issue. It's a leadership issue. All right? It's a leadership issue. Again, one of the greatest problems and challenges that we have today, corporately and individually, involves a leadership issue. All right? And again, if in fact Holy Spirit is not properly positioned and properly aligned, or your understanding of leadership is not properly aligned with the leadership of Holy Spirit, you have a leadership issue. Now, many of us face this same leadership test. Many of us that I'm speaking to, you've already had this test. And it came in the form of a leader who challenged your loyalty to them as a leader, while at the same time, Holy Spirit was leading you in a different direction. Wow. Wow. I know what I'm talking about. I live this stuff. In this season of my life, I preach and teach truths that I've learned, not stuff that I know, truths that I learned, things that I've lived. Many of you all, if you haven't, you will. There will come a day when a man, a woman leader, will challenge your loyalty to them at the point where Holy Spirit is leading you in a different direction Many of us face the leadership test because people that we esteem, leaders that we esteem, are prophesying one thing, but Holy Spirit is telling you something different. Are you going to vacate sonship and be led by the will of man? Or are you going to remain submitted to the leadership of Holy Spirit? That is going to determine whether or not you pass the test or not. Many people favor tests. Many leaders, many potential leaders fail this test on a regular basis because they continue to reaffirm their commitment to the leadership of man. And in the process, you're proving that you're not ready for this level of kingdom dimension leadership because you don't understand how to remain submitted to the leadership of Holy Spirit in light of or in response to what's happening around you and what's going on in your life. Amen.
Wow.
Amen. Amen. Apostle, I'm gonna let it rest at that. Give you an opportunity to have any feedback in the dialogue. How will you close out?
I just appreciate that which you've released. I start leaping and jumping instantly when you started talking about the wholeness dimension because I am working on book 4 that's entitled I Want to Be Whole that I plan to have released by the end of this month. Amen. So Benny and
Amen.
I have been talking about and sharing about the wholeness dimension for a while, and Holy Spirit led us to put together this 30-day journey towards wholeness. So, and then too, Benny is working on a curriculum for leadership for some believers in this region that have shared with him insight regarding understanding proper leadership and preparing people for their kingdom assignment and as leaders. So, if it was for nobody else, thank you, thank you, thank you,
amen,
thank
amen.
You so much
amen.
For
amen.
What has been. Released. I know that, as you stated, this will probably be a challenge to many because we have been taught a certain way for a long time. I thank God for deliverance. I thank God that I have an ear to hear what the Spirit is speaking, and I got better sense than to know I can't follow behind man because, like you,
amen.
I've also lived it. Amen. Amen. So we certainly appreciate you, Apostle Vini, for all that you do. If you could just share with the listening audience your contact information and the new releases, amen, because he has now published some books. So if you could just give them some insight in that. We've got a few seconds left, amen, but I want them to have that information, amen.
Amen. If anyone likes to get in contact with me, the best means of contact is via email. That email address is W as in water, V as in victory, legacy, LEGACY, at gmail.com. I do have a book that's available on Amazon. Title of the book is actually a course. The title is Wise Master Builders Mastery Course. It's a 12-lesson course that you can use as a curriculum. You could use it in your Bible studies or in a lot of different ways to teach principles and concepts of the kingdom. I also I'm about finished and completing a second book called The Joseph Initiative. This book is a leadership training course. Most of the materials that I produce are the content. The layout is actually a course, and they have questions and opportunities for response. And again, it can be used as a curriculum or in your Bible studies, in your Bible study classes and whatnot. But again, those books will be available on Amazon. You just search for my name, Rodney Vini. You'll get those books to come up. The second book should be finished this week. But the first book, again, is Wise Master Builders Mastery Course. If you would need any other information on organization, the Clarity, Clarity Training Institute and Leadership Academy, again, the email address is W as in water, V as in victory, L as in Larry, E as in Edward, G as in Gary, A as in Apple, C as in Charlie, Y as in yellow, wvlegacy@gmail.com. Thank you, Apostle, for the opportunity again.
Amen. And again, we thank you, Apostle Vini, for being with us. We thank you, listening audience, for tuning in. We ask that you join us again on next Sunday evening for another relevant Kingdom teaching. Until then, we encourage you every day do something to empower yourself. And once you've been empowered, take the responsibility to empower someone else. We say we love you. God loves you more. Have a good night.